And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 30th, your final day of June for 2018. It's Season 12, Episode 24. I'm Scott. Oh, wait a second. I had the wrong one. Hang on. There we go. That's the right one. Go ahead.
I'm RJ.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm Matt.
Professionals, folks.
I know, right? I had the other one. Yeah, it goes in an order here, and I didn't have it right. That's on me,
You've
but
You've only
whatever.
Been doing this for how long?
Right, exactly.
Ever.
A long time.
Wow,
anyway,
this light
to the
here
show.
Makes me look bald on camera.
We can turn the other lights on, if you want. And we'll all look bright and shiny. But yeah, if you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228 is the number to get in touch with us. Go to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat, as well as Facebook at that address as well. Just go to ingamechat. We're everywhere. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. For as long as the power holds up in this radio station at the moment, we're dealing with some severe weather passing through the area. Mm-hmm. And a flicker will take us off the stream, but will not take us off the air. All the equipment that keeps us on the air is hooked up to things that don't care about power flickers and power outages. All the things that aren't necessary to keep us on the air, they're not hooked up to those things. So, yeah. But here's hoping. I hope that all that stuff is all over with and done with. So, yeah, we're on twitch.tv. Go there. You can watch the show live while we broadcast. You can join in the chat room if you'd like to. That is completely up to you if you want to pop on into the chat room and talk to us and talk to anybody else who's hanging out in the chat room today as well. You're more than welcome. Before we go any further, let me do my clapboard thing that RJ provided us that's been awesome and helpful. So, there we are. Matt's back.
Yes.
He was not here last week. Sarah was here last week, though, and we kind of ran over some more things that we figured that our E3 episode was just nothing but recapping E3. We didn't really analyze E3. We didn't really talk too much about it. So we wanted to put some time in with that and, just found out what she's been playing and just hitting up a lot of the news that we didn't get to because of E3. So got all of that out of the way, and now we're at this week, which feels like there's not like a whole bunch of stuff, but there's a lot of links in that outline there. There's a ton of them. I don't know if they're worth putting in a 2-hour show for, but we shall see how it goes. As for what we've been playing, RJ, let's start with you.
A little bit more of Grand Theft Auto Online. They got a 3-time a multiplier for reputation points and
triple
money.
XP weekend. Is that what it?
Yeah, triple XP on certain things. So yeah, you're just trying to get as much money as you can. So that's one way to do it. Go through there. A little more Street Fighter. Had a nice little battle lounge session with a couple of friends of mine, and some grandmasters found their way in the room and just handed our tails to us. So
was one of them Flash?
I don't get what you mean by that.
Grandmaster Flash?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Keep going.
All right.
Okay. So anyway, we got through with that, and I actually said I was going to do it last week, and I actually did it. I played Trog.
Did you?
Yep.
Oh, that was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to the arcades, and if Trog was there, I'd sit there, and I'd watch other people play, and I'd try and play it, but...
Trog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be like, go get the thing, because it's basically like Dinosaur Pac-Man. Go get,
with the old caveman dude, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You played as a dinosaur, little, kind of like a little baby T-Rex or whatever, and then if you ate your power pellet, you grew up into a big T-Rex.
Yeah, eat the pineapple, and you start eating the other caveman.
Why
on the
a
field.
Pineapple?
I don't know. It was like a pineapple gate turned you into a fully grown T-Rex. A mushroom would, like, slow you down.
And then there was something that let you spit fire or something?
Yeah, some type of a flaming carrot let you spit fire.
It was a flaming carrot?
Something on fire looked like a carrot.
Okay.
And then you got this red lily, a rose or dandelion or something, whatever, that made you speed up.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see, Golden Horseshoe gave you a little shield to let you run around more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's a simple premise, but it was fun and engaging for a pretty long time.
Man. Oh, I fixed that. I'm sorry.
I'm just laughing at it. It's all good.
I had that fixed, and then we had a power flicker. And I guess when everything came back up, it stayed the way it was. So I apologize.
You know, just leave it. You can leave it like that.
I'm not going to leave it like that because that ain't your name. Your name is Matt. Look at that.
For once, I felt cool in my life.
Yeah, well, get used to it.
Oh, trust me, I am.
Get used to being disappointed.
Yeah, you're going
to
have you answer them uncomfortable questions. Don't do that.
Man, that makes me wonder what else. Did I change anything else about there that went reverted back to whatever after the power flicker? I don't know.
We'll find out when we always do, late.
We do, yeah. Exactly. It'll happen afterwards. Anyway, so you played Trog.
Yep.
And
good times.
I should look into the history of that game, figure out who developed it. It was a Midway?
Williams?
Midway Williams?
Bally Midway? Something like that. I'm going to look that up. You go ahead.
Okay. No, yeah, but just that starting at the beginning, trying to remember how far I got. I think like level 10 I got to. You know, starting at zero, getting all the way to 10. Trying to get as many points as I can, bonus rounds, things of that nature. Yeah, I mean, it was just a really nostalgic, fun playthrough of going through that game and everything. So, yeah, I had a good time with that one.
Man, look at that.
What you got?
Oh, no, I'm just looking at that. Oh, it's Bally Midway.
Bally Midway? Yeah. Okay.
It is. That's where it was. That's the that was the developers were Midway and Visual Concept worked on the NES version. Publishers were Acclaim for the NES version as well.
Yeah.
I guess the draw was that whole Playmation thing.
Yeah, Claymation, yeah.
Well, yeah, although the term they're using here is called Playmation.
Mm-hmm.
Trog features Claymation graphics advertised as Playmation by Midway. Creating the Claymation graphics comprised a significant portion of the game's development cost. Originally, the game involved directly controlling the dinosaurs by leading them around using bones. But after early versions of the game tested poorly, the gameplay was tweaked to make it more similar to Pac-Man. Yep. So.
You're running around collecting eggs.
The original arcade prototype of Trog was more a strategy puzzle-type game. Consisted of the player assuming the role of a hand, which would lay bones to guide their corresponding dinosaur in the right path. This idea was heavily panned and ridiculed during testing, with one tester allegedly defacing one of the cabinets to add an R to the label of the bone button. I don't know what that means.
Bone R?
Yeah.
Bone R?
Oh, gotcha. Boner.
Yes.
Due to the poor reception, Bally Midway, I didn't know. What's the R bone for? I don't understand.
R bone. It's the pirate version.
Bally Midway considered canceling the game altogether, but the game was given a second chance for two reasons. The first one was because the game's creator, Jack Hager, had already spent so much of the budget on the clay animation. And the second reason was because one of the testers suggested turning it into a Pac-Man-like game. Hmm. There are 49 stages in all. Completing them all wins the game. There are three different levels of difficulty, easy, advanced, and expert, although the arcade operator can set the difficulty in the operator menu to make the game more difficult on easier levels without the player's knowledge of the true global difficulty. Advanced mode rewards a $200,000 level bonus, and expert rewards a $200,000 level bonus, and expert rewards a $400,000 level bonus. As the level progresses, the cavemen become smarter and invent new ways to capture the dinosaurs. They eventually create fire pits and wheels to burn and flatten. The character and springs... burn and flatten the character and springs to bounce themselves all over the screen. Catapults and transportation chambers in later stages help evade these attacks. However, these are also usable by the Trogs, resulting in some tactical gameplay options. So, characters from the game make appearances in later Midway titles. In the game Revolution X, wasn't that the Aerosmith game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the Trogs...
Music is your weapon.
Yeah. One of the Trogs appears as a shootable Easter egg. In the horror rail shooter Carn Evil, one of the Trogs can be found in the freak show portion of the game as an attraction in the background. He's frozen in a block of ice and labeled Frozen in Time. The dinosaur characters also appear as enemies in the Rickety Town level of the game.
I think I was getting Trogs confused with Toomba, the pink hair. Wasn't that Toomba? Remember that?
Yeah, I think I do.
The platformer?
Yeah, platformer.
Yeah,
Cave Boy with a pink EF.
I was thinking of that, but Trogs are different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so there you go. There's your little This Week in Video Game History for you.
Fascinating.
Yeah, you played Trog. What else? And then you played Grand Theft Auto and...
Yeah, GTA Online, Street Fighter V. That's pretty much it.
GTA Online would be fun if it went for the other people.
They're adding nightclubs to GTA Online now.
Yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah.
That was in our list of things, but I have no idea what the significance of those are.
I don't know, probably some other way to make money, but...
I guess maybe you can own a nightclub.
Own a nightclub, something like that. I'm imagining that's what it is. But usually with every update, they bring you new vehicles to buy, things like that. But you're probably going to hear complaints about it already, about the amount of the biggest complaint I keep hearing about the game is not the way people behave, but how much everything costs, the way everything just skyrocketed, probably to push the use of buying their shark cards online, things like that.
Spend real world money to get the really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wish you could take some of the stuff from the online and just have it in the game, like the flying car and the rocket bike. And some of those vehicles, if I could just have that in the single player game, I would be so happy.
Can you not?
The thing is, I've never tried to.
I don't think you can. I think they're online only.
Yeah, I mean, you can access the internet with any of the characters in the main story, but I don't think those things are. A lot of those things aren't available. They're the main storyline. Even
they
after
are
the game's
in the
over.
PC version.
With the mod.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there's plenty of things you can do with the PC version to.
Oh, mods can do it all, man.
To put whatever you want in the game. So. Yeah. And I'm still waiting for a price to come down on that thing before it. I think it's still like $30 sometimes for PC version. It goes on sale for like $30 or $25.
Yeah, I mean, I still see it in PlayStation Store for $60.
Yeah. Did you ever pick up Hellblade?
No, it's still
going on.
Yeah, and it's still $17.
Yeah,
and that still.
I think $17 is a good amount to pay for that. I really think it is.
So
however,
why haven't you bought it yet?
Huh?
So why haven't you bought
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Well, because I'm about to spend a massive ton of money on some other stuff.
This is PC.
Yeah,
on Steam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which
is exactly why I had my iPad here today. I was looking up, today's the last day to get the, speaking of Williams and...
Let's say, what Mondo thing are you getting?
No, Williams and Bally.
Are you getting a cabinet?
No. In the game, the pinball, Arcade.
Pinball Arcade, yeah.
Today's the last day to get all the Williams and Bally tables that they have reproduced in that game because their license expires after today. I've got about five seasons. I've got season. It's like four seasons that I haven't picked up yet. Four, five, six, and seven, or maybe three, four, five, and six, something like that. Anyway, it's shaping up to be a good chunk of money because they are not doing discounts on these. These are not on sale. Williams, the license apparently says that you can't put these on sale.
Yeah.
Now that we're pulling the license, now that we've given you notification that the license will be pulled, you are not allowed to put these on discount to sell. Which is so stupid, but yes. After the show, I'm going to purchase those. I was trying to see what I had on my iPad because they're all separate. What I have on Steam does not cross over into what I have on my iPad.
But of course it wouldn't.
On my account. No, it doesn't. It's ridiculous, and I understand what it is. Now the decision is, do I want to pick them up from... More than likely what I'll do is I'll just grab all the collections on Steam, and then I'll go through and just pick a couple of tables here and there on the iPad.
On the iDevice.
So I can have that while I'm, doing flights or whatever else, so I can just play some pinball whenever I feel like it.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember what I had bought or not, like, or anything, so... Matt, what have you been playing, by the way?
Did another... Actually, I think since last we talked, two elusive targets in Hitman.
Playing the Hitman,
doing the sniper assassin, waiting for November for Hitman 2.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of torn on the whole Hitman 2 is not going to be episodic thing.
It depends on how they do it. If basically they're releasing... How's the way I can put this? I'm trying to think. if they're releasing it like they did with Hitman 1, in the sense that all of these little individual things that they release every few months mm-hmm. were self-containing. But they're releasing it all at one time, I think that's bad. If there is not some common thread...
Kind of like if more Absolution than Hitman or Blood Money?
Something that links every single level that you're going to play together. Something that links it all together to play, to have some kind of, you know, a common thread to go through. Then I think it'll put people off. I don't know.
Because, you know, the way I played Blood Money and Absolution was wholly different than I did Hitman. You know, because like in those, since you know you're progressing in the story, you beat one level, you go to the next, you beat that, you know, and you keep on, you play through it linearly.
Yeah, I agree with what Lethal Migraine is saying. Telltale's the same way. I wait until they're all out in play. However, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Lethal.
Different.
I really understand what you're saying, except
Telltale, that's a story that you're going through and to continue it, as opposed to a
right.
encased sort of bottle episode.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like, you know, with the ball episode, I had the chance of really exploring the map and seeing.
Please don't go out. Please stay alive, power. Stay alive. We can hear thunder up here.
Yeah, hear my baby hold together.
Yeah, I know. Essentially in the studio here, this is the attic of the radio station.
Yeah.
So we're actually upstairs above all the other stations, and we don't have anything between us other than a thin piece of roof.
Yeah.
Between us and outside, so just hold together. I just don't want the power to go out, that's
yeah.
all.
But, I mean, I enjoy both, you know, the story Hitman and the episodic Hitman for two different reasons. You know, the story was, you know, the story Hitman was nice because you have a story to go through, you know, with the whole Absolution, the Redemption, all that kind of stuff from that story. But the episodic ones for me were a lot of fun because it felt like I'm just a Hitman who got a contract for this one dude or these group of people or whatever. And so it's like an individual, like, all right, here's your contract. It doesn't have to, you know, really tie in to anything else. And when they did the Patient Zero, that actually did have a story that tied in to, I think, about like five different, you know, places or so. You know, but I kind of like having that freedom to like really explore a map and, you know, have different challenges to go through. You know, to find different things, to do things mm-hmm. different way, you know, be sneaky this time. This time I'm going to go through, you know, use different weapon. So I like the, you know, sort of the diversity of it mm-hmm. and adaptability that, you know, I really enjoyed. So having, if it's going to be like Hitman 1 where, you know, only it's all at once, I think that might be a hindrance in a way because it doesn't give you that time to really know a map. Mm-hmm. Because by the time you're done with the map, you just go to the next one. You know, you won't probably as likely go back through and try different things or experience it a different way.
Right.
So, who knows? So, yeah, I've been doing that. I played another episode of the Telltale Batman Season 2. Mm-hmm. I did episode 3.
Those aren't all out yet, are they?
They 5 just came out. So,
okay, so you're
Season
good to go
2 is out. And I'm going to try and finish that up this weekend. Other than that, Stardew Valley on my PS Vita. Mm. I haven't really been playing, you know, too terribly much just because I've been tired. Work.
Life. You know,
yeah, life.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. No, the way the Hitman, and you know, I was talking about pinball. A pinball machine is just one table, same field, nothing changes,
mm-hmm.
Except for the score that you make on it, except for the way that you play it.
Yeah.
And so...
If you want to be aggressive, if you
right.
want to be more reserved.
Like the levels that they give you in Hitman, on the episodic part of that, mm-hmm. were like, here's your field of play, go out there and take out this person however you want to. And then once you did that, like you can do it easy enough, you know?
Yes.
You can make it easy as you want to, but then you can actually challenge yourself. You can go back and say, well, let's do it just with this weapon, or let's do it...
Let's come up with the most ridiculous way of doing it.
Yeah, there's different ways you can do that, and different ways that you can also... earn points,
mm-hmm.
and also chase a leaderboard,
yeah.
which is always fun. The fact that they give you that, like, if they didn't have... a leaderboard in there with points or anything like that, I don't necessarily know that the drive would be there to do anything. The reason that I keep going back to a pinball machine is because I want to get higher on the leaderboards. I want to get higher in my points.
For me, it's not necessarily the leaderboard, but like, you know, when you complete a mission a certain way and get more points, that will unlock different weapons, items, explosives, and, you know, stuff that you could use in that mission again or other missions going forth. So you could, you know, you could get all kinds of, like, you get a cell phone that's, you know, has explosives in it. Mm-hmm. And you could use that in any of the missions going forth. And or, you know, rubber ducky that blows up. Or, you know, this super really crazy sniper rifle that's, you know, really quiet. I mean, all these different kind of things, you know, even like, you know, shotguns, you know, auto shotguns and stuff like that, that makes it like, all right, you know, I think next mission I'm just going to go in guns blazing, and you can do something like that. Or and so, and then when you add in, like, you know, the elusive targets or the escalations, and there's a lot of replayability in that game that, yeah, I know this map now because I played through, you know, the campaign, so to speak, you know, played the level, so I got to explore. But now, you know, they change it up because I'm not going after the story target. I'm going after these targets over here that, you know, and I need to know what their routine is and where they go and everything. And when you add, you know, the escalations where you only have, like, one chance to do it, you know, that adds a certain tension where if you mess it up, it's just messed up for ever.
Yeah.
You know, if you do it right, then awesome. You feel like, oh, man, that was really, really cool. Or, you know, I'll never forget one time in Sapienza, you know, just waiting, you know, to get my target. And then, you know, finally, I just, right as I, you know, shot him, some guard just happened to walk in right then, you know, seeing me take out the target, and, you know, they killed me. I'm like, mission failed. Mm. I'm like, oh, everything was planned down except for that one, you know, random guard that just happened to see me.
Yeah, surprise.
Yep. Mm. And so, but I like that. You know, I'm like, oh, man, I felt so defeated, but at the same time, like, all right, you know, I should have been more careful. So.
Well, I don't know how you could have prepared for that. I mean, suddenly he's there.
Yeah. Just wait for a different opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure you would get another opportunity if that one presented itself like that?
There's always, like, another opportunity for something. I mean, you might have to be a little bit more careless in a way. Like, instead of, like, being all sneaky trying to do it, just, you know, throw a grenade at, you know, throw an explosive at them, or just, like, you know, try and snipe them from a different position, or, you know, do something else.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways of doing it. You know, get some distance between you and his bodyguard, so that way when they do see you take him out, you know, you have some distance to run. Or, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways of doing it, and I really like that. So I enjoy that game a lot. It's one of the most fun, you know, games I've played in a while. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as just chances of, you know, doing things,
yeah,
and I mean, just opportunities and stuff.
I mean, it keeps you coming back. So yeah, because of
it all
the different ways to do something. Yeah,
it was weird because when I first picked it up, I was like, meh. And then, like, you know, played the one level that was available before even Paris came out. It was the training levels. And I'm like, I don't know about this. And then, you know, Paris came out and I tried it. I'm like, I don't know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, but this something just really got took on, you know, hooks into me. And because, like, I missed several of the very beginning elusive targets and everything. So now that they're reactivating, that's nice because I'm like, I was able to go back and get the ones that I haven't done before. Mm-hmm. And now I have a wider arsenal of, you know, and tools to do it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's, like, super easy. I had one target where, like, just super quick. I just go on in there, saw him, threw a explosive rubber ducky at him, and ran away. And, like, that was it. I mean, my score was terrible because I wasn't, you know, sneaky or anything. Didn't get silent assassin, but, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Got my target.
Yeah.
So
is that your go-to weapon now, the explosive rubber ducky?
It's a lot of fun.
I bet it sounds fun.
They have a proximity one, and they have a remote trigger one.
Please tell me they squeak before going off.
I'm usually not around them quick enough. Like, you know, I you know, like to run.
Mm.
That, you know, the cell phone is kind of fun because, you know, it'll ring, and they're like, oh, hey, what's this? Then it blows up on them, and, you know. But, yeah, there's a lot of fun to that game.
It reminds me of what we did with Metal Gear Solid. Where you put the claymore in front of the adult mag.
Oh, yeah. And
the soldiers, for some reason, would, like, get on all fours and put their head right in top of
right
the magazine.
Of it, yeah.
And the claymore went off right in their face. I don't know anyone who didn't do that playing that game, actually.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been hitting. I was checking the boards, forums, about the whole buying the pinball tables, and I'm not. Like, the thread says unavailable after June 30th, but now I'm curious if that means. That should mean after June 30th, right? But now I'm worried that that meant sometime in the middle of the day, today. And so I'm in a panic of that. Probably during the break here coming up. In fact, oh God, we're overdue for one. I'm going to fire up Steam and see if those tables are available. Because I kept them in my cart. And see if I can pick those up. So we're going into a commercial break here. We'll come back. I'll talk about what I played, which hasn't been very much, so we're fine. Boy, have I got a treat for you for the music today.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try, and I'm going to just go outright and tell you what the theme is, only for the fact that the names of the games will not, I'll not be able to stay away from that. Because of the way the games are named, you will exactly know what I'm going for here, which is fine. They don't need to be like, you know, brain teasers all the time. This was fun and at the same time a little bit sad to collect some of these, only for the fact of seeing just how far they went to do some of the things that they did. And I can remember some of the games that released, and it really never clicked into me what they were actually doing. I just thought, oh, that's interesting. They made a game based on this. Now anybody doing it, and it's sort of a thing where it's just like, okay, I see what you're doing. You're probably making something that's crap, and I'm not going to be interested in it. All of the songs from today's show come from games that were basically advertisements.
Okay, kind of like the Avoid the Noid and 7-Up Spot.
We have both of those.
Sorry.
Yes. You got the all time best one, Sneak King.
I don't have Sneak King, but I do have Big Bumpin', which was also the Burger King thing.
I actually had that Sneak King game.
I had all three of them.
And it was creepy.
There was Sneak King, there was Pocket Bike Racer, and there was Big Bumpin'.
Yeah.
God, they were horrible. Xbox 360. This one was one that I had to do some searching on because I didn't know about it until I looked it up. But it's a game called Darkened Sky. It looks all role player-y and fantasy land and that sort of thing, except you collect Skittles. Actual Skittles. And you can place those into your, like, your powers and stuff, you know, four yellows, and that means, okay, and then I can do this, four greens and whatever. It's weird. Anyway, this is music from Darkened Sky. We'll be back with more of In Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In Game Chat. That is music from Mac Kids or MC Kids, McKids. Yeah, it was all McDonald's. It was a McDonald's game for the SNES or SNES. I don't know.
I don't care.
I can't remember. And I know RJ's probably going to look it up right now.
Yeah, I got you.
To tell me exactly what it was. But yeah, so all the music that you hear come from games that were just basically big advertisements for products. That one had a very Mario 3 vibe to it as far as like the map and everything else. So
NES, Game Boy, Commodore 64. Yeah,
it was NES.
Yeah.
So, yep.
I think the only thing in common between them all, they were all bad, right?
Yeah, licensed games.
As far as I know, they were. I don't remember any of those. Well, it's not...
Well, except the spot.
It's not just licensed games. Mm-hmm. It's not even just licensed games. I remember licensed movie games were horrible for a long time there. But, I mean, these were... These were games
like
built
Aladdin.
To... Yeah, these were games that were built to promote, you know, a food product or a soft drink or anything, you know? Most of those were all bad, yes.
Well, they got this one had sequel.
Music for them were kind of bad, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, welcome back to the show. I just found... Well, I'm... Yeah, Hudson Hawk, exactly.
Oh, my... The movie wasn't even good.
So I just checked Steam in between the breaks here, and my cart is now empty. I was not able to purchase those tables. Apparently... You have until June 30th, meant you have, they will be taken down after June 29th, is what that meant.
When you make no decision, a decision's made for you.
I know, right? I was going to do it today. Man, I'm really disappointed in that. Really disappointed in that. Oh, goodness.
So are you going to buy them all on the iPad then?
Probably not. I had a couple of gift cards and everything else on there, so this was looking to be a $150 purchase for all those seasons.
Wow.
plus I had more seasons on Steam than I did on here.
It'd be less to buy.
So it'll be more to buy here. Plus I don't have any kind of discount gift card or anything like that to apply to it. So yeah, it's all gone. And these are going to be pulled here. Probably if they aren't already, they're going to be pulled from the store here by the time we get done or I get around to even deciding what to do. That sucks. Man, that really sucks.
If only they had let you know when they were going to do it.
Well, they did. Well, they said you have...
It's, you thought you meant like you have until today.
Look, there's plenty of people that I'm reading about who said, why did they get rid of them a day early? Because they got rid of them yesterday. Yesterday morning or afternoon or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But they got rid of them yesterday, and everybody's kind of complaining about why did they do that one day early. And some are saying that the store owners pulled the games, not necessarily... So, like, the people that control the stores... Sony controls what's up on PSN, Valve controls what's up on Steam, that sort of thing. They pull them down. If they get taken off early, that's on Sony and Valve and Microsoft. Farsight has no exact control over the exact time they disappear.
But still, it's not good for the consumer.
Oh, man. Four new stern tables. Ah. That sucks. Yeah, I was waiting till tonight to see if Steam gift cards might be on sale somewhere. Seasons 3 through 7, not bought. Oh well, Farsight, you've been consistent in your idiocy and ineptitude. I'll give them that. They're not the best. They're fantastic in what they do as far as like make the tables, but their ability to communicate to their customer base has been
lackluster.
Horrible. People have had horrible times dealing with customer service from them. I've never had an issue. We've had them on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a problem with them, but I've read countless posts from people who have had issues with getting in touch with them about, hey, my payment didn't go through, or my payment did go through and the tables aren't coming. I don't have the tables downloaded. What's going on? So the next post, I'll never understand how Farsight is so incredibly bad at this. Maybe Steam couldn't remove them over the weekend. Even so, communication isn't all that an advanced concept. It's how our species has managed to get this far. The solution that would have been easy should have said the deadline was June 28th. Better to overshoot than undershoot. See, this is yesterday. People were going to buy tables yesterday morning.
Even yesterday they couldn't do it.
No, yesterday they were taken down yesterday.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Probably overnight in the middle of the night or something they were taken down. And so, yeah, they didn't even make it till the 30th. Hmm. Yeah, that's... Oh, God. That's killing me. That's
I was about to say, that's gonna bug you all.
It really... It'll bug me up until the point that I don't have to deal with it anymore.
Just a lost opportunity. I think we've all had those in gaming. Missed a sale, missed picking this up. Should have got it when I did. You know, them like that.
All right. I may be okay here. Somebody says that... I said, I'm in a bit of a panic here. Is it over? Can I still buy the tables today? I'm on Steam. And they said, only through the game can you buy the individual tables. I don't know if they're still available. They were a few hours ago.
So you might have to, during the next break, go into Steam
fire
and
fire up the game and start going through there.
Like mad.
Boop, boop, boop. Well, that means the packs will be there. Unfortunately, that means I'll be paying, I guess, full price because I won't be paying through the Steam store.
But you'll have them.
But I'll have them.
Hopefully. Mm.
So.
Yeah, keyword there, hopefully.
See, AC Wraith says there's still a few hours left to buy. AC, if you go to their Steam page, it's all gone. And none of it's there.
We might have to go to commercial break early.
We may run a replay the next hour just so I can pack up and go home and get this stuff done. No, we're not. We're going to be here until 6. But, yeah, it's woof, woof. AC Wraith, do me a favor and see what you can find out.
Buy all of them. Can you gift them through the game?
I don't know. That's a good question. What I need to do is go, and I'm doing this all during the show, and it's horrible.
It makes for captivating radio. I'm like glued to the drama. What happens next, RJ?
No idea.
What I'm going to do is go over to the Farsight Studios forums and look there because... Okay. The DLC is gone from the store, but it is in-game. You need to use Steam funds to purchase. You can't gift. You need to send the person a gift card instead. No, I'm good on the gift card. I'm good there. I've got the gift card.
Send me a gift card.
Yeah. What I'm looking at is the...
I buy Hellblade.
Yeah, let's go here. Anyway, I'm gonna keep looking at this and try and do the show as well. Sorry. I apologize. It's just...
Multitasking.
It's yeah, this is a big, important thing for me because of, you know...
Nostalgia.
Well, pinball tables, man. Pinball tables. So what did I play? What did I play this week? I played Destiny, obviously. I played some more of Danger Zone as well. Been doing
Aren't
really...
Are they doing a new Danger Zone?
They're doing a Danger Zone 2 next month.
Electric Boogaloo?
I say next month. That's tomorrow. But they're doing a Danger Zone 2, mm-hmm. and then they're doing... Dangerous Racing, I think, is what it's called, later this year.
Hmm.
And that's going to be more of the Burnout-style thing, takedowns and crash breakers and things like that, but racing instead of just being all... Danger Zone is nothing but, like, crash modes. That's all that is. Mm-hmm. God, there was a fantastic crash mode that I played. It was called... I can't remember what the name of it is, but it starts off with... taxi cabs falling from the sky.
As they are known to do.
Yeah, it gets so ridiculous. So there's taxi cabs raining down, and you have to dodge these things because the way your car works is that...
Is it called Bayham?
I know, it's fun. The way your car works in Danger Zone is you can check other cars from behind. You can, you know, kind of like you could do in Burnout Revenge, I think. Burnout Revenge, they added traffic checking, mm-hmm. which was mostly every other car you could run into them from behind
and
then
knock
send
them
off. Yeah, exactly. You couldn't do it on like bigger, like big rigs and things like that, but pretty much any other car you could. Although if you hit somebody head on, that was different. That was a wreck. Same thing applies here. If you hit anybody going in your direction from behind, you will nudge them out of the way, unless, of course, they're a big, like a bus or a rig or anything like that, a big heavy load type stuff. The difference is, as soon as you touch a car that is either coming from the opposite direction or a car that is already wrecked, you're immediately sent into the wrecking mode of the game. So you lose control of your car other than exploding and whatever else. Mm-hmm. So if you touch any of these cars as they're raining down, that stops your momentum. That stops what you had to do. And the way that, I don't know if you, do you played a little bit of Danger Zone, didn't you?
I did.
No? Yeah. The way that works is they've got these big money pickups scattered throughout the level.
And the multipliers that you're trying to blow into.
Yeah, three bronze pickups, two silver pickups, and then one gold if you get, the gold only shows up if you pick up the other thing, everything else. Now, if you pick them up in order, that's the air conditioner.
Oh.
Yeah. If you pick them up in order, so if you pick up three bronze and then the two silvers and then the gold, you get a 5 million point bonus at the end. Mm-hmm. So in between dodging these cars, I've also got to pick up these two bronze bonuses that are on the section where they're raining down. If I can make it through there, I will jump off a ramp and land onto a straightaway that has other traffic going on in front of it, pick up the silver before I get to the intersection. At this point in time, I've got a crash breaker ready to go. So I'll slide in between a bus and a big rig. I mean, I'll just be threading the needle there. I'll pick up the silver, which is the last silver that I need. So there's the gold. The gold is elevated in between the main intersection junction. So while I'm in between these two, I fire off the crash breaker, which sends those away from me, shoots me up in the air. I can grab the gold. That sends the... Oh, it was fantastically done. I loved it. This is something that I would stream, except I think you guys would find it boring.
No. I know.
I did one like 70 times. Trying to get the platinum
trophy.
I'm
about to say, this game requires a lot of trial and error.
Oh, yeah.
The physics doesn't think right.
Yeah.
Like this, because I blew this up, it rolled into this, and I wanted it to go this way instead of that one, so I blew up too early or too late or something like that.
The best thing I could do is just basically record my gameplay and then go back and take out just the one that got the platinum, right?
That's a lot of editing, though.
That's a ton of editing, because it took me a long time to get there. So I'm still working on all of that, but
you felt accomplished.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. Loved it. Love it. It's so great, and I can't wait to do some
after
more.
After 70 tries?
yeah. So I played Destiny 2, I played Danger Zone, and then I noticed I was on some forums, and I noticed a thread title that said, the June pinball tournament underway for whatever. And I was like, ooh, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
So I went in and I looked, and they were, sure enough, they're playing Pinball FX3. And they had a tournament ongoing. And it ended in like 3 days from when I noticed this. The winner gets a gift card to the store of their choice as far as like PlayStation, Microsoft, Steam, Nintendo, things like that.
No, like Kohl's or JCPenney's.
Yeah, nothing like that. In fact, the gift card was actually limited because you cannot cross-play with Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
So this was scores from Microsoft, Nintendo, and the PC. We were all in this tournament together. So people who joined the tournament on the Switch and people who joined the tournament on the Xbox One, their scores were going onto the same table as PC players were. You know, it was fantastic to see. PC and Sony can do this, but PC, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo cannot.
They all don't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They don't at all. It's ridiculous. I noticed they were playing the Aliens vs. Predator table for Pinball FX3. And I was like, ooh, let me get in there and play that. I have not honestly touched a lot of Pinball FX3. Pinball FX2, yes, but 3, I really haven't done a lot with. So I played the Aliens vs. Predator table and was trying to beat 150 145 million points, something like that.
Is it based off of one of the movies?
Yeah, pretty much.
Loosely.
I mean, all they take into effect is Aliens versus Predator. That's it. It doesn't necessarily have anything that took place in the film.
Okay.
It uses a lot of not sound effects, not music, but it uses some of the what do I want to say the aesthetic, I guess, of what they used in the films as far as the look.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't go much deeper than that. Anyway, I was trying to get up to, I was trying to beat 145 or so million. I can't remember what it was. I've got it here because there it is. Yeah, I was, no, 149 million is what I was trying to beat. And there were 3 days left, and it took me a while to do it, but I got up to 186 million, and I thought, that's fantastic. So I posted a screenshot in the thread, and I was just like, yeah, I did this. It wasn't, but I think I woke up the next morning, and somebody had already beaten my score.
Typically how it goes in things like this.
Yeah, they didn't just beat it. They
destroyed it.
Destroyed it. So I had 186. Somebody comes back the next day with 277 million.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, oh, God. Well, I said, I don't think I can do this again. So I sat down with 2 days left, and I played some more. And I just couldn't do it. I beat my personal best. I got up to 190, right. But I couldn't beat 277. Mm. Now, you know what? I'm not going to have time tomorrow to play.
I'm thinking, what does it take to get to 277? What a, like, some multi-ball thing or something you had to do?
Or I'll tell you.
Keeping it?
Okay. I'll definitely tell you. I don't know if talking about pinball is boring, but it's not for me. I love it. So
then have at it.
Yeah, I had to, I got up to 190, and I thought, this is fantastic. My fingers were hurting from flippers, and, well, I say flippers, but the triggers on the controller.
Hitting the triggers, yeah.
Yeah, it was intense.
How many hours did it take you to get there?
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe two. Like, hours. To get to that score didn't take me 2 hours in one single
okay.
playtime.
All right.
It was just, I would play over and over, and I'd go yeah. through the three balls, and then, you know, I'd be like, okay, let's start again and start over and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The run that actually got me up to 186 million
yeah.
probably only took 30 minutes, maybe 25.
So you had a good little 2 hour session to get to 190.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, there were about 26 hours left, and I made a comment saying I got back in and beat my personal best, but nothing near to being even in second place, because at that time somebody had even gotten yeah. above my score and knocked me down to third. Mm-hmm. I said I won't have time to play after tonight. So my fate is sealed. Congrats to the winners. I can't wait for the next one. Well, I come home from work the next day,
mm-hmm.
and I had 2 hours and 45 minutes left in the tournament. And I was going to sit down and just go through Destiny and do my other character, you know, go through the thing. And I was just like, I got 2 hours. Let's play pinball.
Have another session, you know? Yeah.
Let's play some pinball. With 55 minutes left in the tournament, I got up 334 million points.
Oh, wow.
And came in first.
Congrats.
Yep. It was fantastic. I love that. Now they're working on building the next tournament for the month of July.
Okay.
Looks like it's probably going to be the Jurassic Park tables from Pinball FX 3. So
yeah, it fits.
We'll see how
with
that
the movie
goes.
Coming, with the movie already
Oh,
out.
Man. It was so great.
So, did you win?
Yeah.
Yeah, first place.
So you got the gift card?
They haven't contacted me about that.
Okay.
Yeah. But
he's got a pick. He's got a score.
Mm-hmm.
It's official.
Yep.
300 plus million.
Yeah, I'll put it in here. There's a picture.
Okay. Good job, eh?
Yeah, it was awesome. So
how'd you get that score up? How'd you get the score from 190 to 300 plus?
Pinball tables, at least on the ones that you play on the Pinball FX 3, they have modes.
Right.
They have things you can trigger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything in the game can trigger stuff. There's if you could trap two balls onto the left side of the screen, which it's harder to do than it sounds, you'll trigger a two-ball multi-ball, which is nice to have. If you hit a ramp about five times, I think it's five or six, you'll trigger a three-ball multi-ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you hit another ramp about six times, you trigger another mode where if you can hit the different lanes a certain amount of times, you'll get extra points and all this other stuff. Then there are the actual modes within the game itself. So I'll shoot into one of the holes, and it says, okay, which of these modes do you want to play? And one was called Prepare for Combat or something like that. So that started that mode where I had to hit the ball around a couple of ramps to find my weapons. Mm-hmm. Once two weapons are found, little stand-ups pop up on the table.
Okay.
And I have to hit those before the timer runs out. You got about 25-30 seconds to do everything. And if you're able to do that, you get a bonus score, like maybe 3 million points. But that checks off that game mode. Shoot it back into that hole again. It's like, okay, which of these... You had five, now you've got four. Which of these four modes do you want to play? Mm-hmm. So you pick the next one. Succeed or fail, you've checked that off, and you move on to the next time you trigger it.
Okay.
So you do that another two times. That gets all the modes. When all the modes are done, it kind of sends it into this championship-type mode. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you get multi-balls on the screen, and you've got to hit a certain number of ramps within a certain amount of time.
Okay, so this is pass or fail. When you hit those five...
Yeah, pass or fail.
Pass or fail, okay. Yeah. So you got you have opportunities to get as much as you can for each mode.
Right. The only benefit you get from those modes would be if you beat them, you get a nice little chunk of score.
Right.
So once you do all five, it goes into like the end game type situation that you would have for a pinball machine, right? So you get a multi-ball, you go through the ramps, you get enough. And then you've got to make one last shot. And if you can make that one last shot, you get like 5 million points. Then you get like a mega multi-ball thing. All ramps are jackpots. You have four balls to play with. Mm-hmm. And you just keep going and going and going. And I mean, if you can continue that up, you're hitting every jackpot's worth like 1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, everything you do on the table with four balls on the table is scoring you 1.5 million points.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard once you get to that point to really rack up.
Mm-hmm.
Into the hundreds and 200s and 300s of millions of points.
Yeah, it's just getting there.
Yeah, from just hitting jackpot after jackpot after jackpot. That's not only that, though, if you get multipliers, you're hitting multipliers that have a 10X or a 7X, 10 was the highest. So on that particular ball, I had a 10X multiplier.
Mm-hmm.
So all the little modes and all the little things multiplied by 10 at the end of the round.
Mm-hmm.
So that also jacked up the score. That's how I got that high with it.
Yeah,
so.
It's typical in pinball, in my experience, a whole bunch of little things have to go right, setting it up to get all that scoring done.
Yeah. I tell you what, we got to take a break. We're way behind. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Chris, and I'll shut up about pinball for all of you. I promise I will stop talking about the pinball. But yeah, we're going to come back here in just a bit. Again, going out to music here that is from games that were basically advertisements. So we did the McDonald's Kids. We did a game that dealt with Skittles. And now we're about to go into a game for the NES, the Yo-Noid game.
I'll find it.
Yeah, for the
it was for the Nintendo.
Dominoes.
Well, but it was for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
I believe,
system.
Yes. NES.
Yeah, the NES. This was called Yo-Noid. It was Domino's. And by the way, for those of you who are too young to know, Domino's had a mascot at one time called the Noid.
And you're supposed to avoid the Noid.
Yeah. You know why they got rid of that mascot, by the way?
Because he was annoying?
No.
There's like some dark, seedy side to it?
Somebody shot up a Domino's pizza place.
Wow.
Because they had some kind of... you can look this up.
I'll do it during the
break. Yeah, look that up, and I'll tell you about it. They seriously... They,
like a mental issue?
No, he went... Yeah, he totally did.
What else did you shoot up a Domino's pizza?
Well...
That pizza's pretty bad, but no.
Yeah.
Actually, no, they changed their stuff.
They changed their formula.
They changed all their stuff around. But they did get rid of the Noid, so... And it was because of that. I know he's still looking that up.
I see articles here.
You see what it was?
How a mascot drove a man to insanity.
I'm not kidding. Drove him crazy.
You know what? I could believe that because I am afraid of clowns and Ronald McDonald is evil. So, sure, yeah.
Yeah, but Noid wasn't a clown.
No, but I mean...
He was a weird thing, though, wasn't he?
He was.
He had these weird ears. He had a human face.
Yeah.
Had these really
with
long
a
ears.
Mask and... I mean, but like, you know, one man's Noid is another man's clown, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Hmm.
I don't think Domino's advertises on our station, so that's good.
This moment was the culmination of 3 long years of this man's psychological torment.
Jeez.
Yeah.
From the Detroit Free World Press of February 1st of 1989. Yeah. I'll get some more details before we go on break.
All right.
We'll
be back with more in-game chats right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from... Now, this was on the SNES, and it was it's a game called Cool Spot. It's the 7-Up mascot at one time. Here we go. Hey, kids. At one time, 7-Up had a mascot, and it was a little dot, basically.
Basically, the red dot in the 7-Up logo. Just put some shades and Mickey Mouse hands and feet on it.
Is the dot still in the logo, though?
I don't think it's gone. I think it's still there.
Current 7-Up logo. Yeah, it is. It's still there.
Yeah.
Anyway, for some reason, apparently they used that in commercials, and then they decided to make a video game out of it. So.
Howdy, y'all.
And there you go. That was music from... The Cool Spot game. All of the music that you hear in between bumpers are all from games as ads, basically. So
Tommy Tallarico did the music on that.
Did he do the music on that? You know who did the publishing on that? Was Virgin.
Yeah, Virgin Interactive composer, Tommy Tallarico. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember the 70s commercial with the guy from Live and Let Die,
mm-hmm.
with the deep voice, one of the voodoo guys from the James Bond movie. I forget the actor's name, but he was like their sort of like commercial spokesman for a good while.
Look, I'm just there.
Anyways.
Yeah. So, there was a game with that. It looks kind of cool. It was done by the animation looks
Yaphet
really.
Kotto?
Huh?
Yaphet Kotto?
No. He was the bad. He was the main bad guy. It was the other voodoo guy with with the top hat. Really, really tall guy.
It's been a while since I've seen an old Bond film. But anyway, go ahead.
No. I was just saying that the animation in that looked really the animation for the...
Because it was the first Roger Moore... I'm just interrupting.
Yeah, right?
James Bond.
Looks really, really smooth in the game itself, at least from what I was watching on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw some YouTube videos of it, yeah.
When I was getting music for this, the animation looked really kind of smooth. It was glitchy, it was bad, but the way the characters and everybody was animated looked really kind of, it's kind of neat. It was kind of reminded me of Clay Fighter.
Yeah, I remember that.
Had a realistic, it wasn't obviously real, but it had a realistic sense to it, or a stop motion type thing. Mm-hmm. It was interesting.
Yeah.
So, also I apologize if I seem distracted. I'm trying to get an idea on how much time I have left to buy those tables.
Jeffrey Holder?
Jeffrey Holder does not ring a bell. We're going to get Chris on the phone real quick. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much. I can't really shut up about pinball, and I'm trying.
Well, I'll help even more. I bet the guy that the score that you beat was pounding on the table and everything, going,
yeah. It's kind of like eBay sniping.
Yeah.
At the last second, like 10 minutes before the auction.
Look, I had no idea. Yeah. It was tough enough just to get up to 180, and I just 180 million. So I really, honestly, with 2 hours left, I didn't expect anything to happen.
Hey, look, you put your best effort in there, you got the result, and you got the win. So, hey, congrats, man.
I did not expect anything else to happen, and I had a really good run and was like, wow, okay. So I kept going with it. You know, and every time I played, I got a little bit further and a little bit further, and I thought, okay, this is how this is going to have to go. Okay, I need to do this. I need to do this. There were times where I launched the ball, and I didn't get my skill shot on the first ball, and I said, okay, so I paused it and restarted the game. A lot of times I did that, and there were some times when I just thought, eh, let's just play through, see what happens. I cannot remember what I did on my winning run, but
It all fell into place.
It just kind of all fell into place, and it happens at times like that. You just get a good run, and what I'll try to do when we do the next tournament, I'll try to record footage of the game and then go back and edit and just grab the winning one that I did. I'll try and do that. So, what's going on with you?
Listening to some old classic music from some of the games y'all been playing on the advertisement games. I remember Cool Spot, but I never did own it. But I used to own Yonoi too. I remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I think I've got that. That's on my NES Classic that I have and put a bunch of games on. I want to say Yondoid and maybe the MC Kids and whatever else.
Speaking of the MC Kids, that one's quite rare. You know, y'all ought to look it up on eBay and see how much it's going for. But if I remember correctly, it's pretty expensive, pretty rare now.
RJ looked up what the going rate is for those Burger King Burger King games. It's about $3.
Yeah, $3.49, yeah, something like that.
Which is a little bit pricey to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
350% more than what it was. Free.
Mm-hmm.
I think $1 is too much for those.
I remember some of the game stores had the used versions of that game for $1.
And a lot of them.
Yeah, because a lot of people would bring those in.
I mean, you've got to get, like 5 cents for it?
Right.
Goodness. I'm looking at eBay now for the price of MC Kids. It's like from, 8, and then 12, then 13, then 18, and one's autographed for 140.
Who autographed it?
The nerd who reviewed it on the NES episode. James Rolfe.
Oh, yeah, angry video game nerd.
Yeah. Yeah, so 38, 40. Another one autographed by James Rolfe on the box for 88. Whoa. I don't know if this is true. Factory sealed. 260.
Factory sealed, 260?
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Said the guy who spends money on ridiculous things.
We all do.
Well, compared to some of the other games that are out there that are even rarer than that, I don't know. But, yeah, for an advertisement game, I don't think I'd want to spend that kind of money on anything like that.
Yeah.
Nah, I've talked about it before. I'm stupid with money. I skimp on things, and then I don't question it on others, which is really weird, you know?
God, dog.
$17 for a game that wins all kind of like BAFTA awards and this, that, and the other.
Right? I'm being all picky over on Hellblade, but yet, hey, how much you want for that hoverboard that doesn't work? Money is no object.
Spare no expense.
Yeah, Radiant Silver Gun, still $250 to $300.
Oh, what about like Elemental Gearbolt, with the gold zappers? You remember that?
I remember the game. I never played it, though.
I actually got to play with the Gold Zappers at E3 in 99.
Hmm.
Out in L.A.
Hey, I got my...
That's the briefcase with the pew-pews.
I got my press pass approved for PAX West.
Okay.
And hey, Chris, thanks for the call, man.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Take care, buddy. And PAX South, after PAX West is done with, over Labor Day... Then
when is PAX South?
PAX South is in January at some point.
They haven't announced
a date yet.
Because, like, I want to go to that.
We were talking about it after last week's show out in the parking lot.
But there's a concert in January that I also really want to go to up in Birmingham.
Yeah. When in January? Tell me when that concert is. I can definitely tell you if...
I think it's the 12th. It's, I think, a Thursday. It's the Metallica's going to be in Birmingham.
Yeah, well, if it's on a Thursday, though, PAX doesn't start until... Well, I know I doubt you could do all of it. But, you know, PAX is on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday in San Antonio. So you could... And we're not that far from San Antonio, so you could
drive.
Well, you could either drive or you could actually fly out Friday morning and still be able to go to PAX and stuff.
It's just, you know, it's just that...
I don't know that it's
Metallica
the 12th.
Once already...
The 12th seems like that seems like it's an early weekend for PAX.
Okay.
Only for the fact that that's, I don't know, I'd have to look at it. They haven't announced dates yet, so.
the tickets are bare minimum, 130, I think.
Yeah, I paid a good chunk for mine.
For you too?
For the Memorial Day weekend. But that was two shows.
True. With all these older bands that don't need the money. You know, they're multi-millionaires, and yet, you know, don't get me started on that.
Well, there's other costs. There's other things that go into that, but yes.
Alimony checks and...
We haven't even touched on any of the news. It really is really bad shape. I went way too long on pinball. You know, we're talking about Telltale Games. Apparently, they're going to finally replace their engine.
Oh,
which
wow.
Which is old as dirt.
Yeah, How old? I mean, like, the original Walking Dead?
I mean, it is, yeah. Well, I think it goes back...
Even what, Sam and Max?
Is that No.
I think that might have been a different engine.
Was it the Jurassic Park game or the Back to the Future game? I think it goes to the back of the...
Was that before Walking Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think
Back to
the Future
and Jurassic Park were before Walking Dead.
I think
because when they struck
Monkey Island was before that even.
Yeah. When they struck gold with Walking Dead.
Yeah, they just sort of kept it with that aesthetic. It with that.
They left.
Like, we found our niche that we're gonna do.
Yeah, that was it. So, what else do we have? We talked about the nightclub management. There's another cardboard accessory, so you can play Mario Kart 8. On your Switch using the Labo cardboard thing and build a little whatever.
So,
I would if it's made out of cardboard, that stuff would be broken bad. Playing Mario Kart, especially.
Oh yeah, rage inducing.
Well, not even just rage inducing. Just how.
But there's a lot
just
of movement and just like
just how intense, like, it can get.
You're gripping.
Yeah.
It
ain't gonna be paper.
So I'm sure Lethal will back me up on this with his love of this. I'm really looking into getting. PSVR, you know, because I think there's some games out there that I would love to do. And now with the
they keep dropping
Tetris,
price.
I know, but with Tetris Effect coming out
in VR,
yeah,
is that really where the wait? Are you? I can't tell if you're actually being serious.
Yes,
Tetris Effect is the one that pushes you.
Well,
over
no,
the line.
I mean, there's like plenty that have been pushing me over that, but you know that's just
but Tetris
one
Effect
more.
Is the one that breaks.
That, I mean, well, actually, it's the price drops that's helping to break it.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, like Resident Evil 7, which I already own, and the Star Wars.
I mean, I'm not, level, trust that, me, I am not trying to sit here and tell you that you're wrong for liking Tetris Effect or for being intrigued to play it in VR because of that.
I don't
that.
Think you just let me, like, borrow indefinitely your system.
No, I already got that back from you.
Yeah. Well, no, that was Nate.
That was Nate. Yeah, exactly.
I only had it for, like, about a week and a half or so.
Yeah.
But yeah. So,
but you're serious about Tetris Effect being the one that's like, well, that's it. That
well,
settles it.
I was watching some videos of that, and I'm just, you know, it was of a Tetris Master playing the new Tetris Effect. I'm like, oh wow, that's really cool. And like, then we showed him the VR headset, and he tried it on, and like the latency issues were like lower, so he's like really getting in the zone better. And I'm like, man, that seems really cool.
Of any game I ever thought of to be adapted into VR, Tetris was
not
never
it.
On the list. Like, it wasn't even low on the list. It never made the list.
And I'm still holding out hope that if Ace Combat 7 ever does come out, that they'd put VR support in that one, too, because that would be perfect for
which
it.
One is it?
Ace Combat.
Oh, Ace Combat? Very possible that they could.
That would be perfect for
it. Oh, no, it is. Yeah, no, Ace Combat would be great.
I already got my flight sticks.
My whole thing is if you get VR, then that's That is one more person in the field to finally do the Star Trek Bridge Crew.
I do want to do that as well.
I do. I want to do that so bad.
Because now you could do what Next Gen, the Next Generation.
Oh, did they add that in there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to do that, but I got to have how many more
people?
There's five. You got to have five people.
Five, yeah.
Yes, that's one, two, and then you need three more people.
Keep talking, and nobody explodes. That's VR.
But is it crossplay? That's the thing.
I'm not sure.
With Star Trek Bridge Crew, I can play with somebody on PC or on PlayStation.
Because I have Keep Talking on Steam. I don't have it, you know, elsewhere. If I could, man, if they can make it where like the PSVR, if you could like hack it into using it on the computer, that would be perfect. But I don't think you can.
What, put PSVR on the computer, on the PC?
Yeah.
You might be able to, but you're not going to get... That doesn't mean you're going to get to play VR games that are on, like, Steam and stuff on your rig.
I know.
They aren't designed for that. So, I mean, there would be really no reason to do that. To get it to work, sure, but you're still only going to be able to play...
Just like having just a monitor, just having actual VR.
Yeah. You still wouldn't be able to play, actually, because those are all. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to play any games that I know of, unless I don't know. You'd have to get them in a much different way than you're used to. I can tell you that, or maybe in a way that you're absolutely used to.
Like ideally, if I had like my ideal setup, I would have like the VR glasses. What?
STM Fuller says he has the Bridge Crew game and you don't need VR anymore for it.
Okay.
You can play it without VR.
Huh. But like, yeah, I would have like the VR glasses and I would have that Steel Battalion, you know, joy system, you know, the joysticks from that came out for the original Xbox with Steel Battalion.
I still think about how no one could find another use for that controller.
If that would have came out for the 360, it would have been better because it would be USB. Because then I just plug that into my computer. Someone would write, you know, drivers for it, and then I could play, you know, my mech games, you know, with that nice joystick setup.
It's a shame every time I hear that name, Steel Battalion. Think about what a waste. What a waste and opportunity that
then
was.
Then like, oh, we're gonna do a Kinect game, and I'm like, how about not?
Yeah. Where's it go? Oh yeah. We got the games for the.
Do you have a next month's
PlayStation Plus and Xbox Gold. PlayStation Plus, which Sarah is now a PlayStation Plus member.
Yay.
She's on PlayStation now. She'll be able to download, we'll all be able to download Heavy Rain and Absolver. That's on PlayStation 4. For PlayStation 3, you can pick up Rayman 3 HD and Deception 4, The Nightmare Princess. And then for Vita, you can get Space Overlords and Zero Escape.
Zero Time Dilemma.
Yeah. So those are your PlayStation games.
I'm probably going to jump on Heavy Rain soon as.
If you're on Xbox Live, you can get Assault Android Cactus from July 1st through the 31st, and then Death Squared from the 16th through the 15th on Xbox 360. Backwards compatible with Xbox One, Virtual Fighter 5, Final Showdown, and then Splinter Cell Conviction.
All right, got.
Splinter Cell Conviction was fun until
it wasn't.
Well, yeah, until they threw you into the, okay.
Just shoot everything.
Forget your stealth stuff, go shooty bangs, and it's like, I don't want to do that. So, I would say Lethal Migrants is crappy free game months for both. They are free, so it's like, but I would agree with you. They're not the best.
Really free? I mean, you
would say
buy the subscription.
Yeah, I mean, he won't agree with me, but I would say Heavy Rain would be the highlight of that whole thing.
And that's the PS4 version?
There's only one. Oh, yeah. The PS4 version.
You're right. PS4, yeah.
Yeah,
right. My concern, does it come with all the DLC?
I don't know. Because I got the one Beyond Two Souls from, last month or so, or 2 months ago?
Yeah.
So now I'll get the heavier. So I'm glad.
I think the only reason I didn't buy that was because I didn't want
to play it again.
Beyond Two Souls. I didn't want to have anything to do with Beyond Two Souls.
So I need to. I really need to.
I did. I didn't get the same vibe from that as I did with Heavy Rain.
Yeah. And I still want to try Detroit.
I still have not played that.
I haven't even started myself either.
I want to play Detroit. I want to play Vampire.
With Vampire.
Right. Well, they're pronouncing it Vampire.
Yeah.
But they're spelling it because of trademark issues.
With what? I guess Masquerade?
Somebody owns the spelling of Vampire or whatever that they want to use. And so
crazy.
They can't do it.
I think it'd be copyrighted. Yeah.
Ooh, the NES Classic hit stores this week again.
Yeah, for
the NES Classic, not the SNES, but the NES,
the moddable one.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're going to.
Well, they're both moddable. The SNES and the NES are both moddable.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're going to do a N64 Classic.
Yeah, I don't know.
With that terrible controller.
That's another good question. I don't know. It'd be really cool. What if they adapted a new controller for it?
Is that officially the worst controller in console history?
For me.
I never had an N64.
Definitely. I never liked the N64 controller. The analog, whatever, you know.
Dead
the
center.
It always
was a thing. That,
broke and just limped around.
Yeah.
I never liked that thing. The Duke was another bad controller.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was so massively huge.
I was fine with the Duke, but I also was fine with the S, I think, was the version that they came up with afterwards.
The second one, yeah. I like that one a lot.
I was fine with either of the Xbox ones. Huh?
Is the Xbox?
The original Xbox one, yeah.
Yeah, the original one was bad if you had normal-sized hands.
The NES Max I didn't really like.
I never played the Max. I did have the Advantage.
The Advantage was awesome.
That was my favorite. Especially the fact that you had turbo buttons on A and B.
Turbo Touch 360 was bad to me.
The original,
really bad to me.
To me, the original NES controller, just because with those, since it's a rectangle and those corners always dug into my palms and everything, mm-hmm. so that just uncomfortable.
Yeah, like I said, for mine, the Turbo Touch 360. I mean, there was no feel for that. It was like no sensitivity on there at all.
Duke controller was the greatest. Whatever. I've got big hands, and even me, I was like, oh my god, this.
Yeah, like I said, if you had normal sized hands. The original Xbox controller was not good for you.
Chris just sent me a text on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
showing me a picture of the Yo-Noid game, box, instruction manual,
how much
cartridge and the case with it. He said I just bought it on eBay for $25.
Oh jeez.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, he's a collector. Have at it, man.
Exactly. I'm not going to give. Look. I am not going to give him crap for spending his money he wants to spend it on.
No.
Wasn't the Xbox bulletproof?
Especially. What?
Wasn't the Xbox bulletproof?
I don't know.
I think it was a story about...
I bet it could take a couple of rounds before it stopped working.
Yeah,
but
it depends on what bullet you use.
That's
24 I think there was bucks more than I paid for.
I want to say there was a story about two roommates got in an argument and... Someone pulled a .22 and shot, and it ricocheted off the 22. Xbox.
Oh, a .22.
And hit somebody else.
See, you got to remember, like, you know,
you'd have to look that up.
Talking bullets, like, you know, every day I'm around, like, 20 millimeters. So, you know, you hit it with that, it's going to put a hole through it.
Of course. We have to take a break. When we come back, I do kind of want to talk about that Amy Hennig thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I really don't have much to say on it, but I do want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, we've still got music to play from games that were basically advertisements. This one is, I think, on the NES. It was called Chester Cheetah Too Cool for School.
Oh yeah.
And it had the Cheetos mascot, uh-huh. and you had to collect like.
It ain't easy being cheesy.
You had to collect the Cheetos paws, which they don't even make those anymore.
No. Did they make a Bugles game?
I never saw a Bugles game.
No, I don't think
they
so.
Should have.
That's America's favorite finger hat, by the way.
Heck yeah.
Did they even have a logo?
Bugles? No.
No.
The Bugles themselves were the logo.
Mm.
I mean, what, Doritos? I mean, you don't need a logo to make a
game. And yet they made a game based on
exactly.
Doritos.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Here's music from that god-awful game. welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from a Burger King game called Big Bumpin'. That was bumper cars. You were in bumper cars, basically.
I like the sneaking one. It was added.
I couldn't
find
music from Sneak King.
It added the whole stealth gameplay that I like with creepy stalker king guy.
Stalker trainer.
Yeah.
The weird thing about that, because I was watching while I was trying to find music for this, I was watching gameplay of it and
of Sneak King.
Of Sneak King. Yeah.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Basically, the people you were trying to sneak around had a cone of vision outlined in blue in front of them, but it's a very small cone. So you could technically be walking right in front of them, but you still were out of sight, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
No peripherals.
And if you didn't want to make noise, he did this thing where his hand...
Oh, God, yeah, the creepy little...
And he tiptoed. Yeah. That was how you snuck
around. I think that's how the cover art was him in that sort of sneaking pose. And it's creepy.
Yeah, I mean, the
Burger King guy with the fake big head was...
See, S.C.M. Fuller says this song is so 80s, but...
It came out in the 2000s.
Yes, it did.
You're off by two decades.
Yeah. anyway.
Weird is that?
So Eurogamer had this. Apparently, Amy was some. Where was she? She was at a Game Lab conference in Barcelona. I was following her on Facebook, and I saw a picture she had from
Barcelona. It's a beautiful city.
She had actually parted ways with Electronic Arts as of January this year, and was in the process of starting up her new independent studio, but not yet had the chance to announce the change. Or set the record straight. See, last October,
her game shelved?
Yeah, her studio she worked for was shelved.
Yeah.
It was done.
So
they shut down Visceral Games. Visceral Games that gave us Dante's Inferno,
Dead Space.
Yeah.
They shut down that studio, and they were working on a Star Wars project, but. Yeah, the game, codenamed Ragtag, was said to be too linear by EA bosses, and develop was instead pivoted to EA Vancouver. What happened to Hennig? Apparently she left in January of this year, was in the process. As for that excited-sounding Uncharted-inspired Star Wars game she had been creative director of, it's not good news. When asked if she was still creative director of a Star Wars project, she said, "I'm not. I have not worked at EA since January. Technically, legally." Yes, this is the problem. It was hard enough for them, but people were immediately asking them, is Amy working with you? And the answer was, well, we're in negotiations. It was sort of the soft pedal answer. I haven't been in, but look, I get along with all those people. I consider even the guys on the executive team friends. But it made it awkward because it was like, I never got the chance to announce that I'm not at EA, so I need to just pull off that Band-Aid at some point, but also had nothing to announce. It makes it sound like I just went home. But I'm doing all this stuff, working on all kinds of things. Now that she's not... I'm working independently and I'm staying independent.
Good.
This, I hope, will make it much easier to get her on the show.
And just get her game out.
Well, not only that, but also get her to open up and talk some more. Regardless, you'll never get
a lot of stories that we want to hear.
You'll never get the story of what happened at Naughty Dog. I can tell you that right now. She is still under contract to never speak of that.
And fine.
And she's probably under some contract to never really talk about what's going on at EA either, which is also fine. I don't need to know those things.
Well, what I don't get is like, all right, the exec said it's too linear. Did they not play Uncharted? Those are pretty linear games, but they were good. They were adventurous.
No, you remember when this went down. You remember the whole situation was like, hey, where can we insert loot boxes, you know?
Yeah.
And there were none. This was not EA's shift is they can see what Battlefront can do and they can see what Battlefield can do. They're shifting into that open world games as experience type thing. Or games as a service type thing.
Yeah.
And what are the ways that we can make more money on this after the initial purchase? That's really what they're looking at. And there's nothing, there would be nothing in a game that she'd be working on that would allow that to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically the speculation on how that stuff came down. And a lot of people pretty much guessed that was the reason everything changed. Not that it was bad. It was probably taking a whole long time to develop, but that's just the case when you're working on a new IP.
Yeah. But she unfortunately, says, that's, you know, one more list of Star Wars vaporware that I'm never going to play.
Yeah, add it to the list, right?
Yeah.
She says, I just started my own small independent studio and am consulting with some people. I'm hoping to bring some people on board. I would love to have a little company of about 6 to 8 people, 15 at the most, and do some more projects, do some VR stuff. I'm consulting with some VR companies and doing a ton of research because I've played a lot to immerse myself in. So, yeah, I'm not doing anything Star Wars, and who knows what the future may hold, but that project is on the shelf now. The Vancouver studio is working on something pretty different. It's really not, she pauses, you know, once you go more open world, it's such a different game to the one we were making. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved what we were doing, and I'd love to see us resurrect that somehow, but it's complicated.
I don't think it will.
I need to reach out to her.
I think I will get 1313 before I will get that game. And I know, right? I'm never going to get 1313.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I really want to reach out to her and see if she could come on the show and talk to us. Very interested in that. And see how that goes. So yeah, that's what she's doing, and that's it. I don't necessarily. That's something else I want to ask her or find out, and I might just do this
offline.
Yeah, just something I won't bring into any kind of, but I'm really curious. I was like, were you able to leave EA because something in your contract was able to say, okay, now you have the option to leave, you know?
Or is this more of a, here's the door?
Well, because they brought her on specifically to work on a Star Wars game. Yeah. They didn't bring her on specifically to do anything else. And so
once that,
there may have been a contract that gave her an out for doing that.
Yeah.
It is unlikely that EA had anything that she would probably want to work on. And it's also unlikely that EA was willing to put any money into something new for her, since they had already done that with the Star Wars thing and completely switched that around with what she was working on. So they probably weren't interested in saying, hey, you know, we're not interested in you going off and doing your own thing with a new IP. You can either go to work on this other Star Wars game that we're working on or any of our other, you know, properties.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have the option to back out of your contract, I guess. I don't really know. And I'm really curious about that. She sounds, and it's hard to tell that from texts. But it sounds like she's better off.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like she's happy with this and not in any way disappointed about it. Well, I mean, she's disappointed because the Star Wars thing didn't go off the ground.
But having her own control over.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's never really back had to Star Wars. This reminds me of, like, you know, George Lucas back when he first started off with American Graffiti and THX 1138 and stuff like that, and how he had the studio had more control over editing and, you know, content as it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so once he did Star Wars and he had the money to basically become an independent filmmaker, and that's what he did. He's like, all right, now these are my, you know, his creative control. For better or for worse, you know, if you like his movies or not, you know, but they were the way for him to tell the story that he wanted without the interference of the studio. So right. Maybe for her, she'll be able to tell the stories that she wants to tell without studios saying yay or nay. You know, so.
Or it must be like this, not this, yeah.
I'm typically for creative control being with the creators instead of, you know, the suits.
Well, it'll be, I'm saying this, and I don't know yet because I haven't reached out to her, but it'll be a lot easier to get in touch with her.
Yeah, I hope so.
A lot easier to get information from her now because she won't be tied to any kind of PR or corporate executive type stuff to where she can't talk about things. So that'll be interesting.
Fly her into the studio for a show.
I mean, she won't have the time to do that, but I would love to have her in studio with us.
That would be amazing.
I would literally do an
entire episode.
If she was up for it, I'd do 2 hours, no commercials, and do nothing but a one-on-one type conversation back and forth. Well, you know what I mean.
Three on.
You know what I'm talking about.
Like, I want to be invited.
Just like, just talk to her straight up. And I can probably do that on the phone, too.
Yeah.
But trust me, there's no reason she's going to be coming here.
We have good barbecue, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, she just got back from Barcelona. Where are you going to do
next? I know.
Going to Alabama.
Montgomery. Woo! I mean, seriously, Barcelona is a beautiful city.
So, yeah, there was that. Anything else? I don't know. Overwatch got a new hamster person. I have no idea. I don't play Overwatch.
If you play Battleborn, you know exactly what it looks like, man.
My feelings on Overwatch are the same as Fortnite. I don't care.
You understand it's popular, but it's just not your thing. So
it's not my thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am looking forward to Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Watch some videos about that.
I'm interested in seeing more information, getting more information about that.
If it's anything like Origins, which it looks to be.
That fast, yeah. I think.
Because I was getting burned out the way that they were doing it, the mechanics, and you know, even all the way up to Syndicate. It was fun. It wasn't as, you know, eh. But Origin really changed it up enough with the gameplay and everything that... this has me reinvigorated.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I can't really think of anything else that we've covered pretty much everything, and it's almost time to go anyway. So, plus, I want to get home and
That pinball.
Get in there and get my tables before they're gone forever.
Priorities.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I was. I thought
he
it was.
Thought
it.
He had extra time.
I thought I lost them. I thought I wasn't going to have them. And I want people to understand these.
This has been a roller coaster of emotions for Scott.
Yeah, I want people to understand that there's two different studios that do pinball games. Mm-hmm. Pinball Effects, that's Zen Studios. They make up their own tables and put them out there digitally. Farsight did something that as a person who loves to play pinball and tries to find tables whenever I'm in a new city or something like that, just to say, hey, what do they have? Let me get my hands on it. They recreate actual existing real-world tables, and they digitize them for you to play. Some of these tables, this is the only way I'll ever be able to play them.
Yeah, because they don't make them anymore.
Because they don't make them anymore unless you go to some real old... Because they're just not around here.
Go to a museum.
A pinball museum or something like that.
Was it Seattle?
Pinball has... They have a... it's... Yeah, I guess you could say it's a museum, but it's nothing like the one I think that's in Vegas. Like there is a warehouse of pinball machines in Vegas where you go in, you pay a fee, and they're all on free play, and you can play as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And Seattle has the Seattle Pinball Museum.
Right,
it's a very small thing.
Yeah,
and they got a lot of new tables, and they got some old tables too, and everything kind of switches out from time to time. But, like, there's a big one, I think, in Vegas that is just a massive place for playing pinball.
Hmm.
And that would be a great place to go and do that. So, but, yeah, these tables, to have them, to be able to play them anytime I want, and this is the only way I'd be able to do that on some of these actual real-world tables. So this is the reason why I really want to get in there and get those tables into my account so that they're not gone forever, which after today they will be because Farsight loses the license with Williams, which is a Williams thing. They want to renew it, but Williams is not going to do that. There is word that Williams is talking about doing their own pinball game thing that they can put all their tables in.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, the Farsight Studios who do the pinball arcade were able to get a contract with the Stern folks, and so they're going to get a lot of the Stern tables now. They've already started that. Most of them have. They've already started putting the Stern tables up there, but that's going to be their real world pinball source now. Yeah. It's going to be the Stern stuff.
I don't know.
Farsight's always been that way. The real world authenticity. Of
yeah, no,
tables.
They don't do. Yeah, yeah, they don't do the. They don't make their own tables.
Okay, so yeah.
They whenever they ran a Kickstarter, what they did was they ran Kickstarters to buy them to raise the money to buy the table.
To get the rights?
Well, it was rights and to buy the table. Once they bought... the only way they could make the table is
by getting one and
they
dissecting
bought one
it.
In and put it in their studio and took it apart and
see
and
how
put
it
all to...
It.
Yeah, yeah, and put it all... Digitize it all and put it in their game.
You know, the Zen Lab, you know, the Zen Studio ones...
I love those, by the way.
I mean, they're fun. You could do things that you can't do real world. Like the Infinity, like the upside down.
Well, it's not... Yeah, the Aliens versus Predator did that because I guess aliens walk on the table. The table flips up, you know, and you're playing upside down. And it was, you know, that was one of the modes.
So.
That's neat, but, you know, having that real world kind of like, oh, I remember this when I was a kid, or, mm-hmm. you know, oh, the Kiss table, I used to play that, or, you know.
So that's what I'm going to do. That's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, and thank you for listening on the stream and on the radio. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes, and however you get our show for later use, we appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our Twitch channel. If you're on Steam, join our group there. If you're on Xbox, PS4, all those other places, we got a Discord. It's great. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend or a great week. We will see you next Saturday. This final song has a very long count-in from their drummer. I thought about editing it, but it's so stupid I wanted to let it play. This is from a game that I had never heard of, but it does exist, and it's called Pepsi Man.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Was this the fighting game where he's like the silver and red?
He is silver and red,
yeah.
It was
like a Japanese, I think, fighter.
Anyway, here's the music from that. It's basically just music and every now and again a bunch of people singing Pepsi Man.
Yep.
See you next week. Very long count in.
That's a 12 count.